This next piece, the Concerto Grosso number 1, just blew me away the first time I heard it. Right about that time that I met that Russian conductor. Fascinating stuff. Chnitky must have felt like he was the most unlucky composer who ever lived. First of all, he was born in the Soviet Union. In 1934, just before the Great Purges, one of the groups of people that Stalin picked on in those Great Purges were the Volga Germans. These are people that had come out of Germany in the 1700s and settled along the Volga River. And now, because there was tension between Soviet Union and Germany, those Germans were persecuted, and many of them were sent en masse to Siberia, where many of them died. And it just so happened that Chnitky's mother was one of those Volga Germans. Thankfully, his father could trace some Latvian roots, but his father was also Jewish, which was a problem. So, you're German, your father is Jewish, your mother was a German Protestant, living in a land that's atheistic, where most of the people are actually still kind of Greek Orthodox, it's only natural that Chnitky would be Catholic, right? What else is left for him? Anyway, later on in life, he embraced some more Eastern mystical things, but at least early in life, he was Catholic and very devout in his Catholicism for a long time. He did spend some years with his parents after the war in Vienna, where his father was a translator for the Soviet army. And he was exposed to some things happening in the West. He got his first taste of listening to the radio. You may not know this, but in the Soviet Union, it was against the law during the war to have a radio. Not just to turn it on, but to even possess one. So he was finally exposed to some things in the West. He learned about the different musical cultures, the musical things that were happening at the time. He went back to the Soviet Union, enrolled in the Moscow Conservatory, distinguished himself as a student. But his graduation piece was a cantata called Nagasaki. This is written almost at exactly the same time as Krzysztof Penderecki's Threnody for the Victims of Hiroshima. And naturally, it was a piece with a lot of noise. Trombones imitating air sirens. Things like this. It got him into trouble with the communist government immediately. His music was banned for 20 years until Mikhail Gorbachev. For 20 or more years, his music was banned. He could not travel outside of the Soviet Union. Tatiana Grudenko and Gidon Kremer, the two violinists for whom he wrote these two pieces, were championing his music all over the world, as well as the music of other Soviet composers like Arvo Pärt and Gia Cancelli and others. So his music was being performed, but he couldn't enjoy any of those because his music was banned at home and he wasn't allowed to leave home for 20 years. So you might understand his searching for something in his music, searching for meaning somewhere. And in the first piece, it was maybe Mozart and Haydn. And in this piece, the Concerto Grosso, I think he looked back even further to Vivaldi. When I first started introducing my students to the music of Chnitky, I always told them, it's like Vivaldi on acid. It's not literally true, but it made the students listen, right? What is this Vivaldi on acid all about? Most of them came back to me and said, Dr. Mueller, you're on acid. But some of them came back and said, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing stuff. And yes, it is. I would encourage all of you to stay afterward and get to know some of our musicians, thank them for playing, especially our two soloists. It's great to have you here, and I hope you enjoy The Concerto Grosso number one.
And also, and feel free to come in. If you'd like to hear the next piece, you don't have to stand outside. You feel free to come in if you'd like.
Yeah, there's some chairs.